And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. It's Rosie on the house. It is 8 a.m., so we're in the outdoor living hour with Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery. If you have a question about your landscape, lawn, garden, or anything outside that may be looking a little dead, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can also text in to 411-923, or if you've got an image you want to show, a little plant identification or maybe insect identification or weed identification, just email that to info, at Rosie on the house. Rosie spelled the masculine way, R-O-S-I-E, on the house.com. And 9 o'clock, open line hour. As always, that'll be the open forum, anything and everything you, the Arizona homeowner, have a question about your house, home, castle, or cabin. 10 o'clock, we dive into a specific housing topic. And this week in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have Overson Roofing in, talking roof repair. And, you know, roofing and contracting has changed a lot with warranties and items like that. And you've got insurance and claims and blah, 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 blah.
Lots of new products.
It is. And your roof is your first line of defense for everything that comes out of the sky, as we just had right. Dr. Sky on last hour. So we'll bring them in to talk about it. But today, it kind of, how are we going to keep from sounding like a broken record? It's hot and things look wilted.
Yeah, you know, it's rough. You know, we had a little dose of monsoon moisture and then it went away. And, you know, we're kind of on these really borderline, really hot temperatures, although we are getting some cooler. You know, the mornings have not been too bad since it dried out again a little bit. But it's just hot, and you've got to really take notice of your irrigation system and adjust it accordingly. And, you know, it's hard to communicate enough that, you know, you've got to water thoroughly and not just tease, as my dad would say, you're just teasing those plants with water. You can't run a drip system for 15, 20, 30 minutes. It only puts on, you know, a quart or a half a gallon or so of water, you know, on a plant that needs 10, 20, 30, 40 gallons of water, you know, over a week's time, let's say, and you're putting on a half a gallon or a gallon. You might be doing it every day, which is too often. You don't need to do that, but at the end of the week, even if you're watering 7 days and you're only watering a gallon each time and you're putting 7 gallons of water on a plant that needed 20 to water it to the depth of a foot or two deep, you know, you can imagine what's going to happen to those plants, even plants that are well acclimated to our desert environment. And so I really encourage folks to either come in and get the little brochure that's put out by Arizona Municipal Water Users Association called Landscape Watering by the Numbers, or you can get it online at wateruseitwisely.com. And it has a neat little chart in there. If a plant has a spread or canopy of so many feet, it's going to take X gallons to get the water to the appropriate depth that that plant needs watered. And it starts with shrubs, and it goes clear up to trees. And you probably will be astounded, you know, that some of your big trees need several hundred gallons of water over the course of 5 or 7 days this time of year. And if you can do it all at one time, you know, that's great. Then you don't need to water every day. It's every 5 or 7 days. People are just astounded when I tell them I run my drip system for about 5 hours when I run it. But I only run it once a week, basically, unless we're 110, like we were 112, 115, 118, then it got run a second time that week. But and I'm not talking mesquite trees. I've got citrus and sour orange and Cape honeysuckles and eucalyptus and elms. I don't have a desert yard or a very low water use yard. But if you're watering deep enough to get the water down 3 feet deep on trees, 2 foot deep on large shrubs and a foot deep on smaller shrubs and ground covers, you don't have to water more than maybe a couple times a week. Now, that being said, when it's 117 or 118, even if you're watering right, you probably have a few sunburned leaves on of some things. Don't panic. Don't go prune them off. Leave them on. Those leaves will defoliate, or plant will defoliate those leaves. They'll flush out new growth this fall when it cools off a little bit. Even if you're doing everything right, you on the south or the west side or the very top of some especially citrus maybe in some of those plants, you might have a few. Don't be a leaf counter. Don't go out there and all of a sudden panic because you got 10 leaves on a whole plant. Your rose bushes probably look pretty crappy right about now. That's okay. Put some mulch around them. A big advocate of mulching and putting shredded bark mulch, bark mulches, compost, anything organic to cool that soil down really helps.
Even a little wilted, those plants look a lot better than you would if you stood out there all day.
Well, that's true. You'd be mighty fried, mighty red.
And those burnt leaves just protect. Yes, you don't want them at all, but if they are burnt, if you cut them off, well, now you're just opening it up to burn the next layer.
The next layer underneath or the trunks or the limbs, branches below them can continue. You just kind of keep it going deeper and deeper. Leave them on there. They provide shade. And, you know, just because they're a little bit sunburned doesn't mean that they're even dead. They'll hang on there for a while.
And if you're watering by hand with a hose or out there trying to, you know, really baby them, in a hot part of the day, if you spray the leaves, that water on there can be a magnifying glass and it'll leave burn spots.
Well,
it's pretty extreme.
Plus it's just not an efficient use of water to be out there in the hot part of the day when it's hot and you're losing water to evaporation and the wind's probably blowing, so it's blowing it around. You know, water really early in the morning. The plant is more efficient. It can actually utilize the water more efficiently than when it's hot and, you know, and it's trying to play catch up anyway. And then you're wasting water by, having it evaporate. It's just a common sense. You have to just kind of think and do the math. If I've got a drip irrigation emitter that's putting, if it's even working right, which most of them, if they're over a few months old, aren't. If it's even working right, maybe it's putting 1 to up to 3 or 4 gallons of water in an hour. So if I'm running it an hour, I might only be putting a gallon or two of water on that plant.
When I installed our drip, the way they're designed, from your water supply tube, you have a piece that you push through the plastic, and then you have your little tube, and then at the end you put your emitter head, and that's your 4, 6, or 8 gallon a minute. Well, I used to always stick those straight into the water supply and then the hose from there. Mm-hmm. That way, if there was ever a leak, it still is only dripping. If that emitter head got chewed off with the direct supply, you get that straight stream out. But I have learned if you do it that way, don't bury those very deep because, like you said,
then you got to go change them.
You turn it on, you're like, that one's not dripping. So then you got to dig down and replace it. And what I've started converting them all to is the way it was designed, putting the adapter and then the hose, because those adjustable emitters, I really like those.
You
turn them and they go from 0 to 10 gallons. I like those a lot.
They are pretty neat, and then you can actually have some adjustment if you've got smaller plants, bigger plants on the same system as well. And they're also really good if you put drips into pots. Those are a great way to it kind of spreads the water out a little bit, and it runs fast enough to kind of fill a pot up and give it a good drink of water. So that all being said, we were talking about, I think one of your topics is do-it-yourself projects. Sometimes I think one of the biggest mistakes or things we see done wrong by do-it-yourselfers are the irrigation system, how they're engineered, how they're set up. People make the mistake of putting the valves above ground instead of in a vault or a valve box below ground, not enough heads, too many heads, not knowing what their water pressure, their sprinkler coverage are, not having good coverage with lawn sprays, all of those types of things. So if you were going to probably not do something yourself, the irrigation system, at least go to a commercial irrigation supply house and have them help you diagram and draw out and figure how to do the irrigation system the right way.
Now, you and Rosie were talking before we went on air. You have this water challenge going on. Do we need to make an official ruling as to whether or not we've got a disqualified member on that?
Well, I think there's extenuating circumstances in both our cases that have caused us to stumble a little.
Pride goeth before the fall.
You were just bragging about how you're going to smoke Jay in the challenge.
I was cheating a little bit. But I was going to smoke him.
You both had pools and the lawn, and relatively same size property. Jay may have a couple more trees.
Yes.
But the challenge was 10% reduction on an annual.
If every home in Arizona could save 10% a year, that would be enough water for the whole state for another year.
That's a lot.
Think about that.
In the long run, if we don't do it ourselves, at some point they're going to do it for you.
Right.
And probably one of the more frustrating things would be to be told you can only water on Tuesdays and Thursdays on your side of the street. And on your side of the street, you can water on Mondays and Wednesdays. And you can't wash your car in your driveway. And, you know, and on and on and on and on. So let's not get to that point. Because we don't need to if we would be
self-governing.
Thinking long-term, thinking wisely, not trying to grow plants at the time of year we shouldn't grow. I see lots of people, you know, trying to get tomato plants to go through the summer, you know. There's nothing wrong with when that last tomato plant has shriveled up and died, pulling everything up, turning the vegetable garden off, let it go fallow, maybe even solarize it. Get the ground ready for fall and plant when you should plant. Trying not to grow maybe particular plants that we had a show last week. We talked about people trying to grow things that are hard to grow here.
Yes.
And that's all fine, but, you know, doing maybe one of those in a pot is no big deal. But if you're trying to grow a whole backyard full of tropical fruits, you're going to probably use more water than you should. Do you need a lawn? I mean, do you have kids and dogs at home? I mean, if you don't, perhaps... You know, lawn is not the...
Artificial turf might be your future.
Well, even not that. You know, I mean, if you just want the look of the grass, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. And there's lots of great ground covers and blooming shrubs, and we can do all kinds of things with creative design to not have to have a quote-unquote grass lawn out there. So those are all questions that I think we need to take into consideration is your lifestyle and make your landscape accordingly.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
Look alive, weeds. It's a matter of life and death.
These weeds have a mission to hide every bottle.